You know, I believe that sometimes because we have been so entertained these last 30 or 40 years of teaching and preaching in the church, and so many of the messages have had to do with us striving and trying to obtain some level, especially when you got preachers and teachers standing up and they're boasting and bragging about what they got and what they own and what they can do, which leaves the people of God constantly striving and trying to reach something. When we hear the voice of the Lord clearly telling us to rest, God's got this. If you put it in modern day terms, it would just simply be God saying, I got this. I already got this. Cease your striving. Cease the striving, trying to obtain, trying to gain. That was never his intentions. There have been different things. Some horrible seeds have been sown in our understanding about all the efforts we're supposed to be putting forth. And that's not what he says. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy burden, and I will give you, what's he said? Rest. And I discovered in my life that when I'm striving like that, that means I done stopped resting and I'm trying to make it happen. You know, that prophecy that the Lord gave you about what he's going to do in your house and in your home and in your family and in your finances and in the future. And when it seems like it's taking God too long, it's taking him too long and things are going the total opposite of what he told us, then we start in our own efforts to try to make something happen. But let's heed the word of the Lord that has come to us today. Rest, chill, stop. See the stop sign, we'll see the yield sign. Yield, stop. I'm talking to myself today. I want you to know I'm speaking to myself today. Stop. You can't make it happen. I can't even add one hair. Okay, I'm really wanting to talk. I can't add one hair on my head. I can't add one millimeter to my stature. I can't make myself get taller. I can make myself get wider by eating more, but I can't make myself get no taller. Can't make my hair grow. What's he saying to us? There's the littles of things that we can't control. So why are we trying to control other stuff and other people and circumstances and situations? Rest in the Lord. Come on, just do that right now. Just be happy. You have to be intentional about it too. Just take a deep breath. Just, okay, Lord, I let it go. I let it go. Yes, Lord God. Trying to make folks on my job do right, my kids do right, and my family do right. I just let it go. Yes, Lord God. I let it go. Lord, I trust you. That's really what it comes down to anyway. Come on, tell him, I trust you. I trust you. Thank you, Lord. And he knows that the thing that makes it so difficult to trust sometimes is because of the prayers that seem to be unanswered. The things that didn't turn out the way we thought it was, what we thought it should. And one thing I've learned about unanswered prayer or prayers that didn't turn out the way I thought it should is that I don't understand all the circumstances and situations that are involved when I make a request before the Lord. I don't know all of the details. I don't know all the variables that are there. I may just have a simple request. Sometimes we make a simple request of God and we think it's simple. But I can tell you, every time a request involves another human being, it's already incredible variables. Let's just start off with the first variable of choice. They have a choice. And so when they make bad choices in spite of our prayer, it doesn't mean that God didn't hear our prayer. What it means is God gave them an opportunity to make a choice. And when they make a bad choice, and some of those choices have resulted in loved ones who have lost their lives. And so we think God didn't answer our prayer, but we don't know. No, he gave them an opportunity to make a choice. It didn't mean God didn't hear it. It didn't mean God didn't answer it. So now as we face the future, see, that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of the choices that are going to be made that are out of our hands. But the word of the Lord says, God says, the heart of the king is in my hand. I steered the way I wanted to go. So it leads us to such knowledge. There are certain things that are just too high for me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high I can't attain it. So the stuff that's beyond me, then I done quit trying to pray about stuff and manipulate God and make circumstances and situations that's beyond me. All I know is God told me to pray for the president, pray for those who are in authority, pray for them. Now the decisions that they make, they got to answer to God for that. But it don't mean that God didn't hear my prayer and didn't answer my prayer. It means that there are some matters that are beyond us. And so I'm going to stick to the stuff that's mine. What God told me to be a good husband and a good father, told me to go to work and put in a day what I'm supposed to do, be faithful to my employer, to live the life in front of the folks around me, living in such a way that just this way, I sent you guys that email, a coworker having a problem. And she says, Chris, could I give you a prayer request? So you live your life in such a way that when people have crises, they turn to the people of God and say, can you pray? Yes. See, that's where my world is. That's our realm of influence. So come on, just trust. I'm gonna put your hands up again. I know I got to put hands up a lot today. Today is a surrender day. Amen. Say, Lord, I trust you. Come on, just tell him, I trust you. Thank you, Lord. And the matters that are beyond me, Lord God, I trust that I put that in all your hands. Yes, Lord God, I put it in your hands. Yes, Lord, I trust you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My bishop once told us something. And it's very true. He said the Lord spoke to him one day and said, instead of shaping worshipers, my leaders have crafted witches. And what did he mean by that? He said, we've been teaching people how to operate in manipulation. And that's witchcraft, to operate in manipulation and intimidation and domination. So we've been teaching the church for years how to try to manipulate God by saying such things. I might step on a few toes, but here we go. But we teach the church that if you throw up some praise, then God's got to pour some blessings down. That's manipulation. Because if your kids come up to you, just think about it in the natural. Your kids come running in the house. I love you. I love you. And the only time they go, what's the first thing out of our mouth? What you want? Only time you come and say you love me is when you want something. Well, we don't think God ain't got enough sense to see through that. We don't think God goes, well, we got a big dumb God who just, his children come and love on him and he'll just pour down blessings on them. God's the same as a, what do you want? In fact, he's already told us in his word, wisdom is in the streets crying out, listen to me. Because when calamity comes, then you're going to be seeking wisdom and you ain't going to be able to find it. And then we go to church and some preacher, some teacher tells us, well, in the midst of your crisis, just throw up some praise and God will dump down and all. Some of those folks that are suffering, they suffering because you didn't listen to wisdom when the moment was there. And now that you're in the crisis, you're trying to make God violate his word and bless you anyway. And I'm telling you, oh my God, I done started preaching. And he's not going to bless it anyway. He's not. What's required? Well, what's required at that point, Pastor? What's required is to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did not listen to you. Have mercy. I didn't do it right. I didn't listen. I didn't obey. And now I'm in this situation. Lord, would you have mercy on me? Give me another chance. Don't be trying to manipulate God. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Mm-mm. Just tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. I did not do this the right way. I repent. I turn from my wicked ways. Lord, would you give me another chance? I know you don't have to. And if you don't give me another chance, come on, here's the next part. If you don't give me another chance, give me the grace. to get through this. Give me the grace. See, this is balanced teaching. This is the balance. This is the other side of it. Because, see, you can fill up a church with hundreds and thousands of people only talking about the blessing part. But that's why a lot of those churches are emptying today. The church in America is declining in massive numbers. You know why? It ain't because the gospel is wrong and God is false and this belief is false. The teaching was faulty. And it was faulty for years, having people build their houses on sand. And now that the storms have come, houses are falling and people are walking away from God, thinking that they had built their lives on the word, but they were building on sand. Yeah. That stuff was sand all along. Yeah. It was not the word of God. Yeah. Because those of us who are built on the word of God, when the storms came, just like his word says, the house stood. It doesn't mean that our lives have always gone right and everything has gone perfectly. But at no point during the time of the crisis did I even consider walking away from God. Why? Because it was built on the rock. Built on the rock. Come on, bless the Lord today. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. We done lost two homes. I'm watching people around here ready to walk away from God and just forsake the whole thing because they lost their house or their car was repossessed. I'm through with all of it. We done lost two houses, and neither time did I even consider walking away from God. What we had to do in both cases, okay, Lord, where did we get off? Did we take on more than we could have, than we should have? And even in attacks where, when the times where it was an attack of the enemy to steal, to kill, and to destroy, then again, you still stand up because you see it for what it is. You tell the enemy, you got to pay me back. You stole from me, and when the thief is caught, you got to return sevenfold. Amen. You don't get mad at God because you had an attack and things went wrong. Now it's time to stand up and fight. Oh, my God. Give it back. That's where you stand up. Settle it in yourself. Get it. Give it back. Yes, Lord God. It's coming back into my household, back into my family. Everything that you stole. Yeah, no more mamsy-pamsy weak with the devil. I can't stand that. I'm preaching like this because since I've been here in Harrisburg, I see a lot of the teaching that causes the people of God to cower down to the devil and get mad at God. God, how could you let this happen? He already told us we was going to have tribulation. He told us it was going to be this way. So why get mad when it happens exactly like he said? Oh, we thought tribulation was just going to be gossip. No, gossip ain't tribulation. People talking about me. See, that's this little generation now. I call it a Facebook generation. Somebody say a few things about you and you think your world ain't come to an end. People talking about me. That ain't tribulation yet. That's just a little annoyance. That's a mosquito buzz. That's just annoying. People talking about me. But I'm talking about the things where folks get you fired, losing your home, warfare in your body, having to battle through sickness, battling through depression and mental illness. Waves of curses and generational iniquities coming through your family that refuse to let go because you gave your heart to the Lord. Because the enemy doesn't want to give up territory. When we talk about coming in for the Lord, rebuild, restore, and renew hearts and homes, that's territory that the enemy has held in some of our families for years. 30, 40, 50 years of territory that he's always held. And so now here you are pursuing the will of God. You think the enemy gonna let you just walk away? Is it like the gangsters do? Or you think you just gonna walk out There's a reason why gangs and mafia have a certain mentality. And that mentality is that you don't walk away from this. You don't just walk. And that's how the enemy is treating Harrisburg. Oh, are you going to follow God? And you just going to walk away from me? It's like that crazy spouse. Y'all know the crazy one. You just going to walk away from me? You just going to walk out of this? I told y'all that Pastor Chris is coming back from St. Louis. You just going to walk out on this? Oh, yeah. And some of you, I'm not making fun of you. You may have been in a relationship like that, so you know what I'm talking about that crazy spouse. And that's how the enemy is. He's that crazy form of spouse. You just going to walk out? After all I've meant to you? We had some good times. Now you just going to walk out and turn to God? So it builds up that warfare mentality. That's what Pastor Chris is talking about. There's a warfare, militant aspect of us that God wants to develop in us so that we turn that anger that we always, isn't it something how the tendency is always to get mad at God first? Yes. Stuff goes wrong and you want to get mad at God first. But I'm telling you, it's okay to get mad, but just turn that anger at the right one. Where you go to the enemy, oh, excuse me? You just going to walk up in my house? Take my kids? No. Come on, say, I don't think so. See, that's a different mentality for the people of God. You're not just going to walk up in here and take what God has given to me. Even when he gets in a good blow, oh, okay. You know how you say, oh, okay, it's like that. I don't just want to make it a money issue, but I can't tell you how many times things have gone wrong in our finances. Car breaks down, something unexpected, and me and my wife, the next paycheck comes in, and we like, I'm writing out this tithe and offerings in defiance of what you have done. I'm blessing the Lord. See, this is putting the rubber meets the road. This is what it means. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. It's not just the phrase that I'm going to always praise the Lord and bless the Lord. No, it's not like that. The picture is like this. Here's the word picture for that scripture. It's of a wild animal like a bear in your face with fangs and claws right there. This is the word imagery of that scripture. This is what the writer had in his mind. This bear, this animal's in your face, and you look back right at it and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's the image for us that we're supposed to have about that scripture. With the enemy in our face, ready to pounce. You can see the fangs. You can see the claws. And you say, I'll bless him anyway. Yes. Come on, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are not going to win this. You may get in a blow. You might get in a cut. But you ain't winning this. You're not taking my family. We're not going out like that. We're going to be gangster like that. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. All my background coming up out of me today. We're going to be gangster like that. I didn't realize I was this way. One of my cousins recently, he was talking about assessment of all the different ones in the family. He said, Chris, you was the one cousin that we was always like, oh, he gangster, he ghetto. I didn't know they saw me that way. But that's the kind of fight that God wants in us. And you know why? I want to put Titus in line with the word today, because when we're resting in God, you understand where the strength is. Yes. It's not in myself, in my weakness. His strength is made perfect. Yes. It's perfected. I love the picture of the little boy who's being all tough and talking to the bully, and the bully's backing up, and the little boy thinks it's all him, but he doesn't know his dad is standing behind him. Because that's the picture. I got my daddy backing me up. And when nothing seems like it's changing, this is the time you really dig in your heels. I'm not just talking about, I'm not giving you no 7 steps to this and 5 steps to that. I'm just giving you 1 step. Make up your mind. I ain't moving. I'm staying right here. Because God, you are faithful. I know you're faithful. I got a track record with you now. I've got a track record with you now. Don't allow the disappointing places and the times where it, like I earlier said, when it seemed like your prayer wasn't answered, don't let that stop you now. I have prayed publicly for people. I told you guys a story about the time I prayed for a woman publicly and she died anyway. But we found out after her funeral, she wrote a letter to the church and said, I was ready to go home. Don't y'all cry for me. Don't worry. I'm ready to go. I'm so thankful that she left that letter behind. Why did I say that? Because there are so many circumstances we don't know. There are certain things that we're upset and regretting right now, but we don't know. We'll find out in eternity why certain prayers weren't answered the way we thought. And God doesn't want the things that we still got question marks about to keep us from moving forward with what he desires to do through our lives. In this day, in this time, I wrote you guys a pretty interesting email this week. Yeah. I know the devil's like, wow, my God. And I'm one of those people, I do get into these world finances and currencies and all that stuff. And I can't say I'm no expert in it, but I do have some understanding about the direction that we are moving as a nation and in this world. And this isn't something that's just like, this might happen. No, I was giving the description to my wife. I said, no, this is have already jumped off the cliff. We're way past the, are we really close to the cliff? No, we've already jumped. And now it's just a matter of when we hit. And so then it's like, well, what is the people of God supposed to do in the midst of a situation like this? Pastor, you talking about holding on and digging in and all of that. Then his word to us was, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Because we're in a place where only a miracle can change things now. And so since we're in a nation where God allows choice, then say, oh my God, what if we choose the wrong thing? Then we got to get ready to go into captivity just like the people of God in the time of Jeremiah. Pastor Chris, are you saying that these things could really? Yes, I'm saying they really could happen. Because right now, the prophets are prophesying good things and sweet things, just like they did in Jeremiah's time. And even now, people will go straight to Jeremiah 29:11. Word of the Lord, we know, now I'm trying to say it. Quote it for me, Jeremiah 29. I know the plans. I knew it. You give me the first words I got. I know the plans I have for you. But do you know that word comes in the midst of a prophetic word? So we focus on God said, I got great plans for you. All the thoughts were a future and a hope. And so we all hold on to that. God's got great plans and sing and dance, and whole sermons and conferences on Jeremiah 29:11. God's got a great future. Yeah. But we won't look at what it said up above that. You don't just pick out the good part that God spoke in that prophecy and said, this is for me. You have to take all of it. Because at the before he said that, he said, I'm about to let you go into 70 years of captivity. Boy, it puts God, it puts things in perspective. So he's saying, I'm about to let you go into 70 years of captivity, but I got great plans for you. Then he goes on to say, read it sometime, Jeremiah 29. Then he goes on to say, after those years are complete, then you will pray to me. And I will hear you. Then. Because then you're going to pray to me with a whole heart. Oh, you're going to mean it then. It ain't going to be just, Lord, I bless you. No more the manipulative prayers. More the secretly, I just really just want you to do stuff for me. But we say it in phrases like, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you desire. And in our brains, in our, especially our young people coming up, and you know, the 20 and 30 year olds, they say, Lord, whatever you want. And then they'll see stuff like American Idol and The Voice, and in their mind, whatever you want for me, let that be it. We see the reality shows, and so Lord, whatever you want, however way you want to use me, however way you use me, Lord, use me, Lord, use me. And God just give them something simple to do. Just have a prayer with your classmates at school. Use me, Lord, use me. Because use me means, and all the young preachers, I'm not putting them down, but I'm really sick of this, guys. You know, the annual conferences and revivals in Harrisburg and cities all over the country, and we gather and pray and sing for each other and dress for one another and talent show for one another. And use me, Lord, use me, God. And all the while, our world, as I sent you this email, is falling apart. And we got the people of God still striving for the very things that are crumbling. They don't understand. They're striving for the very things that are crumbling right now. Because the world does a great job of hiding and deceiving the masses as to what's really, really happening. So the television shows look like everybody's rich and everybody's famous and everybody's got cars and stuff and all these things. I got a chance to go to a mentorship program just about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I told the young men that were there, I said, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. Most of you guys probably know the rap artist Nelly. He's from St. Louis. I said, let me tell you guys, Nelly's whole thing is an act. I'm from St. Louis. I said, I got young people in my youth ministry. He went to school with Nelly. He went to University City High School in St. Louis, and he played baseball. He was on the baseball team. He didn't come from gangster life. All of that he's portraying, it's all fake. That ain't even the life he comes from. He's an athlete. Just a regular kid going to school, trying to play baseball, wanted to be a superstar in baseball. He couldn't make it in baseball, so he went into entertainment. And then took on this whole persona, pretending to be a gangster and all that. And I said, when they make the videos, let me tell you how it works. I'm talking about how the world deceives. Right. Let me tell you how it works. They go and rent out a strip club in St. Louis. And they hire in the girls, and they hire in all the people to come. They rent the jewelry and rent the clothes and rent everything and perform and turn on the cameras, and y'all out there trying to live this life that they ain't even living themselves. Everything that you saw in the videos was all rented. Well, what about the scenes? Because they always have gone, what about the scenes when you see them all with the cars and everything? I said, oh, they blocked off a street in St. Louis. The street is King's Highway in Del Mar. I know exactly where they shot the thing, and they brought in all of these people who actually own these cars and paid them to use their cars in the video. And they put out a call to kids in St. Louis and say, anybody want to be in a Nelly video, show up at this street corner because they're shooting a video. And so you thinking, all this hype and everything, it's all staged. it's all staged because the world does a great job of making it look like something that it is not. There's a young lady in our home, in our church back in St. Louis. She was part of that world, and God saved her, got her out of it. And she's writing a book right now to expose the lie of the whole entertainment business so that young people will quit trying to pursue this stuff. She said more young ladies go into this and they end up just simply being being used and abused and kicked to the curb. She said somebody ain't even got sense enough to at least get paid. She said, I wasn't one of those stupid ones. I at least made them pay me if I'm going to do all this stuff. And that's as far as I'll go. She said, somebody ain't got enough sense to at least be paid. Their self-esteem and their self-worth is so poor that they go and let these young men and even other women use them because they just want to be part of the scene. What am I talking about? The deception of this world, and right here in America, even the church is going after things that are not real. American Idol is a show. It's a show. It's just a television show. And so we decided to have our own version of American Idol, Sunday Best. And what does that communicate? It communicates to the next generation that the goal is to be on stage. The goal is to be seen. The goal is to be heard. John, well, that's what I was supposed to have been teaching about today. I guess that'll go till next time. But John said, I must decrease that he would increase. The goal of the church is not to make sure that we are seen and that we're heard. Even when we open up with this greeting, it talks about what the church is doing. Do you know that the reason why so many people think the church ain't doing nothing is because most of what the true church does is behind the scenes. What the true church does will not be on CNN. It won't be on the nightly news. So we've got to get out of the mentality of thinking that if we don't see nothing happening, then ain't nothing happening. But God has always moved behind the scenes. Remember, as we went through this whole story to lead up to John, we talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he gets the word from an angel behind the closed doors in the temple. And even when Elizabeth found out she was pregnant, she hid herself for 6 months. God moving behind the scenes, nobody knowing. And we as the church have got to get ready, get prepared for that, because for whatever is happening, I can't sit here and tell you that I know exactly what's going to happen in these last days. But however events unfold, we've got to get accustomed to meeting like this. We're just a little small group of people meeting in this little office space in some building in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania that hardly nobody knows anything about. And we got to get used to that. Because God can move so much more effectively when it's out of the spotlight. We think it must happen in the spotlight. Unfortunately, we even tell the stories of Jesus as if everything he did happened in front of crowds of people. But all of his sermons weren't on the mountain. No, that's right. That's right. All of the healings didn't take place in front of everybody. That's right. Look at how those writers would write. They would say he would go to somebody's house and people came to that house. Right. We got that American mentality that thinks there must be a spotlight and cameras. And if it's not in the spotlight, it's not on cameras, if it's not trending on Facebook, if it's not trending on the Twitter system, then ain't nothing happening. But don't you know God loves doing stuff that ain't nobody talking about? Don't nobody know about it? And he wants his people to have the wisdom to shut up about it. Jesus would heal some people and he would say, don't tell nobody. Well, if you came to save the whole world, then why do you didn't want nobody to know what you was doing? Because there's a time in which I'm going to lay down my life, not set myself up for the enemy to take me out ahead of time. And we got to think that same way. We got to think that same way. I don't know what I'm preparing you for in the future. I don't know how important this video is going to be a few years from now. But I believe prophetically, we're going to look back at this day and say, Pastor, God gave Pastor, it ain't even about me. God gave Pastor this word for us to get us ready for this day when we couldn't be as public as we are now. But God wants to use us. That if a coworker or a friend says, would you pray? Would you pray? That we don't think we got to have an entourage following us to the hospital. This is Pastor getting out the car at the hospital. This is Pastor entering the hospital. This is Pastor at the desk. This is Pastor coming through the door at the hospital room. This is Pastor with his hands laying hands on the baby. But get used to God using us powerfully and us saying to the people, don't give me no glory for this. You thank God for your healing. Don't tell nobody my name. Don't tell nobody that I even came to see you and to pray for you. Don't tell nobody nothing. You just give all the glory to God because it's not important to them to know who came and prayed for you. What's most important is that they know that God, the Almighty God of the universe, he loves you and he loved you so much that he sent somebody to pray for you. Who he sends ain't the issue. The fact that he sent somebody is the issue because he cares about you. Come on, bless the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what the title of this message. I guess it'll be rest. Said all that to say rest, chill. God's got it under control. Come on, bless the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we do posture ourselves in this very moment to rest, to know that you've got it under control. We don't know how valuable this word will be in the years to come should you tarry. But Lord, we hold on to it like Mary did when as the mother of Jesus, he would say things and do things and she didn't understand. But your word says, Lord, she just pondered these things in her heart. And so, Lord, we just ponder these. We just put these things in our heart and we just place it on hold until we can understand it better. Yes, Lord, because we know you're going to bring it back. I sense that right now to say you're going to find yourself in the moment. You will be in the moment. Special moments where I set it up for you to bring a word, to pray. A miracle will come through your hand and you will reflect back to this moment. You will know that I set it up. You will know that I prepared you. Yes, Lord. Lord, we yield to your word. We hold on to your word. We hold on to your promise. Thank you, Lord. We don't count our lives dear unto ourselves. Lord, you're doing something. You're orchestrating something. And we're just saying, yes, Lord. Set it up the way you want. Do what you desire. Yes, Lord God, we bless your name. Do whatever you want, God. Through my life, through my heart, through my home, through my family. Yes, Lord God. Don't be alarmed when all around you more and more crises comes creeping in. Even when things begin to affect your own finances and your own family, do not go into panic. Settle yourself. Get my wisdom. Settle yourself in my peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, my peace. I hear the Lord saying, get accustomed to living in the eye of the hurricane, with the winds blowing all around you, but the peace in the middle of the storm. For you will find that I am leading you by that peace. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I am leading you. And as I'm leading you, yeah, there's going to be some decisions that won't make sense at the time. But do it because I said so. Trust me. Trust me. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for, now I'm going to say something sound very unusual after all I've said up until now. Lord, I thank you for blessing everyone under the sound of my voice, even in their finances, so that we are positioned to be a blessing. So that we are in position to help someone else who will be in panic. Thank you, Lord God. For some of you, I don't know who this is for, God. I hear the Lord saying he's going to allow you a season of plenty, but don't spend it. Save it. You don't even know what you're going to be saving for. I don't even know what I'm saving this up for. There'll be things that you've always wanted to buy, wanted to purchase, wanted to get, and God's going to keep telling you, save it. Save it. Save it. You're just going to come into such plenty, it's going to seem like this now's the time for me to fulfill all the things I always wanted to do. And God's going to say, save it. Thank you, Lord. Before Egypt, in the time that Joseph was there, before Egypt went into 7 years of famine, God gave them 7 years of plenty and told them to use the 7 years of plenty to get ready for the famine. Joseph was so wise, and he did that, that even his own family ended up coming to Egypt. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord God. So, Lord, I thank you for blessing, for your blessing pouring out in favor and finances upon your people in Egypt. What I mean by that, in the world system, on your job, through your career. God's going to give you favor. He's going to give you finances, but he wants you to get ready for the famine. This is not a word to panic you. This is a word to give you wisdom so that you're ready. God's going to use you to save your family the same way God used Joseph to save his family. Get ready. Yes, Lord. Folks who ain't never had anything to do with you in your family, they're going to have to come to you. Yes, Lord. God's going to use it as an opportunity to heal some family rifts, because they ain't going to have nowhere else to go but to you. And God's going to use you the same way he did Joseph to heal the rift. Joseph could have taken advantage of that situation. Those of you that know the story of Joseph, man, he could have made his brothers suffer. He could have made them suffer for what they had put him through. But he saw God, out of his own words, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Thank you, Lord. So some of what you're going through right now is preparing your heart for that day, just like what Joseph went through, prepared his heart for the day of reconciliation with his family. So it's hard now. It's cruel now. It's unfair now. But favor is coming behind all that was cruel, all that was unfair. Favor is coming. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for help giving us lives with purpose. See, I can live like this. Guys, when God speaks like this, I'm like, okay, I can live like this. I cannot live just going to work to make money to pay bills. I can't. I'm telling you guys, I can't. I just cannot live like that. I cannot live like that. that is purposeless, pointless, meaningless life. Just living for the weekend, living for the next day off, living for the next vacation. No, I got to have more than that. I got to have purpose. 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 And when God gives us words like this, it's to impart purpose, to stretch the purpose, the meaning of our living, the meaning of our existence beyond the next day off and the next vacation and being able to buy the next thing. No, no, no. Something greater. Reconciliation of my family. The next generation coming into the knowledge of the Lord our God. Preparing the way for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren should the Lord tarry. See, that's purpose. That long after I'm gone, the legacy of God's purpose still is going through my family line. I don't want my grandchildren to look at pictures of grandpa and grandma and just say, "Ooh, look at all the stuff they had. Look at the clothes they wore. Look at the house they used to live in." No, if they know nothing else, I want them to know. I want them to be able to say, "Thank you, God, that grandma and grandpa paid the price so that I could serve you today. Yes, Lord God, so that I would know you today. Thank you, Lord God, that they paved the way." Yes, Lord God, bless you, Lord. Thank 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 you, Lord. May we fulfill the purpose of God in our generation here in Urban Life Church, Lord. May we know you in a greater way. Thank you for how you've moved in our midst today. Thank you, Lord. You have touched us. You have spoken to us. You have healed us. You have rejuvenated us. Yes, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we're departing today, Lord, I thank you for your favor, grace, favor, protection, wisdom on every heart and home. Thank you for giving your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways until we are again assembled and able to join in fellowship, sweet fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand today. Thank you, Lord.